Alan Tudge, why is the Coalition going ahead with this card?
Well, we haven't made any decisions yet, but we are looking at it. And the primary reason is because we want to address some of the alcohol problems which exist in the communities, which are often fuelled by welfare payments. Now, we know, for example, in the Kimberley, one in four children is now being born in some places with fetal alcohol syndrome. We know in the Northern Territory that almost two-thirds of all assaults are alcohol-related. So we've got to get on top of the alcohol, and this card is a potential way of doing that.
So are you saying that this card would only stop people from buying alcohol? What about junk food? What about cigarettes? What about gambling? Would this card restrict the purchase of any of those products?
The intent is for it to be only to restrict alcohol and gambling, because they are two of the things which have quite significant social consequences. And, of course, by being a cashless debit card, you don't have the cash to purchase drugs. That's the core intent of the card, to prohibit those three things. But otherwise, the card would look like any other ordinary Visa or MasterCard that might be in your listeners' pockets right now, where it can be spent anywhere on anything, but you just can't purchase alcohol or gamble with it, and because cash is limited, you can't purchase drugs with it.
Now, what Andrew Forrest said was that it needed to be a completely cashless card. He said that was at the core, at the foundation of what he was proposing. You're talking about limited cash. How much cash would people have available to them? What would be the percentage that would be cashless, and what would be the percentage that would be available for them to spend at their own discretion?
Listen, we haven't made that decision yet, and there's a lot of decisions which are still to be made. It's highly unlikely that if we proceeded with this card that it would be a 100% cashless card, simply because it's not really practical. We're not quite there yet having a cashless economy. You do need cash for certain things.
What do you need the cash for?
Well, there might be things like just getting on a bus where it's much easier to have a little bit of cash, or at the kids' tuck shop, or at an op shop which might not have a credit card facility. Those types of things where you might need a small amount of cash for. Now, the amount on the card would still have to be a reasonably significant proportion if it is to stop the alcohol-fueled destruction, if you like, in those communities. But we're going to be guided in part by the local community leaders in terms of what is going to be a reasonable figure.
Is it your intention that all Indigenous welfare recipients would have to have one of these cards, that it would be mandatory?
First of all, it would not apply just to Indigenous people. It would be colourblind. It would apply to everybody according to a set of criteria. Second point I'd make is that if we proceed at all, it would likely be done on a trial basis in a discrete geographical area where it probably would apply to everybody who's on income support payments in that geographical area. But their decision's yet to be made. We're still in a consultation process, both with the communities and indeed with the banks, because they need to be supportive of the concept as well.
And are the banks supportive of the concept so far?
We're in good discussions with them, and those discussions are ongoing. The intent is for it to be an ordinary bank debit card, really, as I described before, where it looks like a bank debit card. You can use it absolutely everywhere, but you simply cannot purchase alcohol with it, gamble with it, and because cash is limited, you can't buy drugs with it. Otherwise, you're free to spend whatever your money, whatever you like with your welfare payments.
What do you say to the evidence from the Northern Territory about the restrictions on alcohol purchasing, just pushing people into other substance abuse, petrol, paint, even cooking essences and deodorant were on the list of examples of what people who already had a substance abuse problem turned to once they didn't have the access to alcohol?
Well, when you look at the evidence of where there was alcohol restrictions put in place, you typically found that the rate of violence halved. In Aurukun, for example, that's what occurred. Over in Fitzroy Crossing in Western Australia, you had dramatic impacts on the rates of assaults and hospitalisations as a result of having alcohol restrictions. Now, in some respects, the concept of the welfare card is very similar to an alcohol restriction, but instead of it being trying to restrict the alcohol supply, you're trying to restrict the cash supply to purchase the alcohol. And we think that it would have a similar impact. But of course, it would have the additional benefit of not having to deal with the sly groggers, if you like, who are constantly trying to import the alcohol in those communities where there are restrictions in place.
But there would still be that issue, wouldn't there? Not only the sly groggers, but also the trading of alcohol and other goods between members of the community, and even trading welfare cards. I mean, these are issues that came up in the Northern Territory under the system that was in place there. And then on top of that, the significant homeless population that was recorded as people who had substance abuse issues left those remote communities. So aren't some of the statistics here quite skewed about the potential for this to be successful?
Well, a couple of responses. Firstly, it's one of the reasons why, if we do go ahead, we're likely to do so on a trial basis to assess these things. But the second thing I'd say is that even though you will have some issues on the side, the evidence when there was alcohol restrictions was that you had a dramatic impact on community safety and on the well-being of those communities, despite the fact that you nevertheless had some sly groggers, which were very difficult to stop. Now, I would predict that you'd have very similar results here if a welfare card was introduced, where, yes, you're still going to have some of those issues, but overall you'll still see a dramatic improvement. But of course, one of the limitations of alcohol restrictions is that by definition they cover a geographical area, and so some people, if they want to, can move outside of that geographical area. The strength of the proposed welfare card is that the card travels with you, so you can't escape if you like, an alcohol restriction by moving somewhere else, because you still have that card with you. And I think that's one of the benefits of the card versus alcohol restriction.
How quickly would you like to see a trial at least in place?
We haven't made any decisions yet, Anna. We're still in the consultation phase, and we want to make sure that what we do is right, is carefully done, is well considered, before we even announce that we might be proceeding with a trial.
At this stage, though, do you expect that by the end of this year you'll make a decision either way?
Oh, absolutely. We would like to be able to make a decision sooner rather than later, but we don't want to rush.
Because the indications from your own interviews and from the Prime Minister, even on the day that the Forest Review was released, was that you were willing to go ahead with some kind of expansion of income management through this kind of healthy welfare card. Is that a fair assessment, that there will be some kind of expansion of the existing system under this government?
We're certainly taking the recommendation of Andrew Forrest very seriously, and we have to, as a community, get on top of the alcohol and drug abuse. It is absolutely essential. And if this card is a mechanism to do that, then let's see if it works. And if it does work, let's see where else it might be able to be applied to. But we're taking one step at a time here. We're going to do it right. We're not rushing. If we do go ahead at all, it would be on a trial basis first before any further decisions are made.
And would that trial happen in Kununurra?
Again, we haven't made any decisions. Ideally, the trial, if we did go ahead with it, would occur in places where the local community leaders have called for it. Now, Kununurra is an area where Ian Trust and some of his leaders have publicly said that they want to explore the operation of a welfare card in that area. So, of course, we'll be talking with them.
And has this proposal been signed off by Cabinet as the initial, in principle, idea of this kind of a card got Cabinet approval?
Anna, as you know, I can't tell you what happens in Cabinet. I'm not a Cabinet member myself. No decisions have been made yet, but we do want to make a decision quickly, but we don't want to rush it.
Alan Tudge, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Anna.